ladies here in Derech Hashem, Wednesday, 29 Shvat, Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar, 14th of February, and Shir number 39. And we're up to section 2, Perek 2, paragraph 9. 2, 9. So we've been learning. We've been learning the intricacies of the din, right? When people have to record anybody, you don't have to answer me, but if anybody ever has had the experience of going to court, if I take it, coaching something more serious, you appear, you hire a lawyer, and you talk to a lawyer, and you make lawyer crazy. Is it a good thing to tell the judge? Is this not a good thing to tell the judge? Should we lie? Should we lie?
But it doesn't work here like that.
Right. That's my point. And we don't spend the time. Most people, no one in this room, of course, but most people don't spend the time preparing for that big court that we all have. That's going to determine not if we get slapped on the wrist with a fine, and that's going to determine not if we are going to. Some people maybe have to spend a few months or days or years in jail, but this is going to determine eternity, which is hard to fathom. And it's ongoing, because you realize that when he talks about that some people need to get Yisurim and Olam Hazeh because they're going into Gan Eden, because they're going to Olam Haba, but we have to do something about the Averis, can't just ignore it, and therefore, again, this is without tshuva, and without, as I always like to remind people of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that if you show the Midah of Vitor, of letting it go, not standing up for your rights, being a friar, that which is like the worst avera in the world. Maybe comes being a friar, but if you are a friar and you let it go, then Hashem Mida Kneged Mida will also be mavater, which is like an amazing thing. But anyway, that's not my point. My point is that lechora, if the net result of the structure of your good deeds and bad deeds is Yisur and Olam Hazeh. But wait a second, the guy's dead already. So it must be there's an ongoing cheshbon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges him every Rosh Hashanah to some degree, and sees, you know, he's on the path to Olam Haba. He could do tshuva, he could this, he could that, but he's on the path to Olam Haba. But he has all these averas to deal with, so we're going to have to give him Yisurim and Olam Hazeh. And he's from the lucky ones. Bishlama, when Gehenim is the cleansing agent to allow you to go into Olam Haba, you're in. Because when you go, you're Mizdavek B'Hashem, and someone that's Meluchloch, dirty, Bechait, can't be Mizdavek B'Hashem, even if it's a small chait. That's his point. That has to be taken care of. It won't stop him from going to Olam Haba, because there we follow the majority, and, you know, he's basically a good person. Again, we don't know how much each mitzvah, how much each affair is worth. This is all, again, Hashem knows the circumstances of our life. Hashem knows everything, you know, everything that works in the therapist's office, Hashem also knows. And either takes it into account or doesn't, we don't know. Hashem knows the deepest recesses of our unconscious, of our subconscious, our motivation. You know, when they tell you to lay down on a couch and talk, I don't know if they still do that at all, but that used to be the whole mahalach. It was really, it has a shot, because you freely start talking, and a lot of premius comes out when you get relaxed. And then you remember things. You say, wow, I haven't thought about that incident in 30 years that my father slapped me in front of everybody. How much it's an excuse or not, we're leaving it up to Hashem. Lamata, it's not an excuse. You overcome it. You have bechira. But I ranted about that already. Okay. Anyway, but it must be ongoing because it's not Gehenna. We're talking about Yisur and Olam Hazeh, but you're dead already. So it must be an ongoing thing. So the Diktuk HaDin is amazingly meduktuk, and it gets even more complicated as we'll go into the next parak. But again, how many people prepare for it like they would prepare for a court case about a traffic ticket? Or any court case people are involved in. I mean, even big ones, millions of dollars. I used to be on a Beis Din. You have all kinds of cases, whether it's Chayshe Mishpat or Ebenezer. Could be Yerideya too, if it's a Chos Rivas. We don't even approach Rosh Hashanah that way. But, okay, hey, this is part of the... This is part of the disassociation we have, like we disconnect, the cognitive dissonance we all have about the future din. Anyway, so paragraph Ches 228 described another angle of Diktuk HaDin, and that is that a lot of times a person will have so many averis that it dulls the mitzvahs, and so he gets cleansed, but he's on a low madre. He gets schar in Olam Hazeh. Even a person on his way to Olam Haba will get schar in Olam Hazeh because he has so many averis that they can't possibly be dealt with, so he'll have to get the schar and Olam Hazeh, and then he'll go to Gehenim, and then he'll get a lot of schar for his schuyas in Olam Hazeh. Notice he doesn't deserve a high madrega in Olam Haba because of all his averus. So although he's getting cleansed of his averus, but like they're too overwhelming even for Gehenim. This is really a person that's going to Olam Haba. The averus can be so overwhelming that he just can't go to a high place in Olam Haba. So he gets a low place in Olam Haba, and he gets Schar in Olam Hazeh. That's what he used Mechadish in paragraph Ches. That the Schar in Olam Hazeh is not only for Rishoyim who have to get Schar for their mitzvahs, but it's also for people who have so many Averis, or such a... in Eichus, have a virus, so they are only on a low madrega. So again, sometimes, in one second, sometimes you have a sort of an attitude people have, okay, so I'll get in the lower rung of Gan Eden, but I'll make it. So I made it by the skin of my teeth, but I made it. No, it's not, you didn't make it by the skin of your teeth. It's not like you graduate medical school and everybody's on the same madrega. Whoever got an 80 and a 65 and whoever got 100. Low madrega in Olam Hazba is also nitzchias, and there you'll be gnashing your teeth, and it'll be kol echad nichve mechuposo shel chaveiro, the Gemara's lashon is. It'll be an intense embarrassment in Suf Shisharim, which was written by the Ramchal, also describes the intensity of embarrassment, of a lost opportunity. You know, in a certain way, there's nothing as painful. You know, sometimes you do something wrong and you suffer the consequences. Okay. But the pain of a lost opportunity, which, like you think back, and a person sometimes says, if I would have chosen to go to a different school, if I would have chosen different friends, if I would have chosen, I once had someone in the shul come to me many years ago, and he expressed his pain at making a certain life decision about, you know, what field to enter, and his friends, his peers, went into more Torah Dikka, more Klei Kodesh, I should say. Everything's Torah Dikka if you live the right way, but more Klei Kodesh, as it's called, fields of endeavor. And now it's like 20 years later, 25 years later, 30 years later, and he expressed pain. And I think that's very, very painful. Lost opportunities are very painful. Sometimes more painful than punishment for bad deeds. So that's what he's saying here. You know, you're gonna make it into Olam Haba. It's better than not making it into Olam Haba. It's like I get carried away. Better than not making it. You made it, but it's not Zvorim Shel Mabakach to say that you'll be on a lower madrega than really you could have been with your mitzvahs, because you sullied your mitzvahs. Maybe you did it shelo lishma. There's a Ramban in Chumash. I spoke about it once by a drasha, which certainly sends it into oblivion. That the Ramban says that the schar is always matched by the deed, and if you do mitzvahs, but you do shelo lishma, manas l'kabel pras, so you'll get your pras in olam hazeh, and you know, you see the Torah says you'll have gishmecha be'iton, and you'll have this and you'll have that, so that'll be the schar. You know, and that's sad, because then missed opportunity. Yeah, someone wanted to ask a question, I think.
So that means Gehenna is always the same time period. In other words, if someone has so many sins, they're not going to necessarily spend more time in Gehenna.
Gehenna is 11 months, or 12 months, I'm sorry, 12 months. Yeah, I don't know, it might not be months that we call months. You're not dealing with the planet Earth. I don't know, you know. We deal with it as if it's 12 months. People say Kaddish, people say Kaddish for 12 months, they do things like Le'ilui Nishmas, has a special power for the first 12 months. I mean, we treat it as if it's our earthly months. But yeah, I don't know about the intensity of the heat. There's different Maduros in Gehenna, the Rishonim say. Maduros mean there's no levels in Gehenna, if you ever read Dante, right? But there are different Maduros in Gehenna, so it's definitely not the same to everybody, but apparently it's always 12 months. But reading the Ramchal, you do feel like, well, Hashem, I made it into Gehenna, which was never our thinking before, right? You say Gehenna is like the pits, the worst thing that can happen to you. No, it's not. Gehenna means you're being cleansed of your Averis because you're a Ben Olam Haba, and we have to deal with your Averis. And you weren't lucky enough to get Yisurim in Olam Hazeh, which you were probably very happy about in Olam Hazeh, but now you're going to have to go to Gehenna. But Gehenna is like, oh great, I got into Gehenna. It sounds funny, but that's what Ramchal is presenting, that picture. Okay. Paragraph test. V'ulam, however, b'chomash zechanu adheinu, with everything that we've learned until now in Perek Beis of Section Beis, in Nisboer, we now have a handle in Yin Yisuri HaTzadikim Bolam Hazeh v'shalvus harasham. We now have a good handle on Tzadik V'ralo and Rosh HaVetovlo. V'chein ho'anoshim ha'nafshiyim, which probably means Gan Eden and Gehenna, meaning the Olam Sha'achar Misa, but not yet Olam Haba, which was after Tchias HaMeisim, according to Ramchal. So on shemanavshi means when the guf separates from the neshama and the guf is decomposing, getting rid of its chomer, and the neshama is, if you remember, is in the holding station and it's getting its batteries recharged, and and it's having an oneg similar to the oneg of Olam Haba. Mitzad ma shel hachona l'gmul ha'iti shalosad lovo. It's all a preparation for Olam Haba. Ach tovus ha'tzadikim ba'olam hazeh nimsheches al derech acher. When tzadikim have it good in this world, so there is an explanation for that, which, you know, it might not fit into the pattern of what we've learned till now. It's more complicated. Right? We're not finished. Right? We're going to learn more angles, more subtleties, more qualifications, more levels. You know, it's complicated. Unavara l'fnim b'siyata d'shmaya, we'll be explaining it. That's going to be the next perek. But you should still welcome Yisurin because of what the Chavis HaMavis writes, that at the very least it's a kapara. You know, when you can't figure anything else out, so just accept it as a kapara. Or accept it as a nisayon. I said this is complicated, but maybe that's two sides of the same coin, nisayon and kapara. Two sides of the same coin. Yisurim shel Ahava means really, and the best explanation that I can see for Yisurim shel Ahava is that it's an Nisayon, and the Ahava being shown is that you raise your level of Ruchnius when you cope with it. And remember, he's not okay. Now he says, just to throw another monkey wrench in, just when you think you understood everything, it gets more complicated. It's like when you finish law school, they say, no, you have to go to postgraduate law school to understand. Everything I've been explaining is explaining the, I don't know, it's hard. Someone told me in modern Hebrew, kotev is a pole, like North Pole and South Pole are the kotevim. So it's like an axis that things turn on. So Chozer should be, he said, you live two lives. I mentioned this in the Drush of the Shabbos. We are all living in our personal world, and then we're living as part of the tzibur, part of the community, part of the Jewish people, part of the shul, part of the community. So that's what he says. And until now, he's been talking about what will get a person to be part of the kibbutz hashleimim. That's how he talks about it. Everything is to be part, like I said, as if you can only get a charter flight there, Eretz Yisrael. You can't go individually. You have to be part of a charter flight. You have to be part of a group flight. That's how he's been talking till now. What everything is. I didn't always say it. I always talked about getting into Olam Haba, etc. But he always talked about getting into the kibbutz hashleimim, the group of shleimim that would be going into Olam Haba. Now he's saying, "Chozer shebiyanu kfi hakotev hasheni haklali shozecharnu lahachana, avol inyoneo kfi hakotev haishi." The personal, the person as an individual, tolchem mahalach shona mikolzeh, has different rules. Now both rules have to hold true because the people play two roles. But that's Hashem has to work that out. That the two maslulim work in tandem and they don't contradict each other. When the Vareo Adam prepared to say Amsam Santa Dishmaya, we'll be explaining that in Parag Gimel. Yeah. Yeah, now we'll see that there's a there are parts of a person that maybe there are parts that are personal and are not common to all. Maybe a person's personal nisyonos. We'll see. Let's learn Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel will answer your question. Perek Gimel, which we're now going to embark upon, will answer your question. Perek Gimel, Bahashgacha Ha'ishas, how Hashem looks at the individual as an individual. So, Hinei Kvar Higdamnu, we explained in section 1, Perek Gimel, paragraph 1, She'inyan Ha'avodah Shanim Shol Adam, Toloi B'mesh Shanivru Ba'olam Yonei Tov Yonei Ra. There are mitzvahs, averos, good things, bad things, good and evil in the world. Usama Adam Hinehem, and a person exists in that world, Livchalo Satov. Usama Adam Hinehem, Livchalo Satov. Right? You have a choice, you have two paths to take. You can follow your desires, your tightness, and break the rules, or you could adhere to the rules. Very, very numerous. Much more than 365 averos and 248 mitzvahs. Why? Every mitzvah tova, which I'll explain in a minute, humility, generosity, mitzvah tovos, which you can't necessarily point to anything. It's a good deed, bad deed. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's used badly, sometimes it's used wisely. But a mitzvah tova really means what generally is a mitzvah tova, because sometimes you shouldn't exhibit it. B'chlal ha'tov, that means they call me the rab. Derech Moshe. Hagaiva, arrogance. Echad minyoni hara. In general, that's a bad mitzvah. But nova, humility, minyoni hatov. For achmonos, minyoni hatov. For hafchah, achzorius. Histapkus, meaning histapik abuot, being happy with what you have. Asimcha b'chelko, working it out, that's enough, and being actually tameach b'chelko. Minyoni hatov. The hafchah, minyoni hara. Chain kosher upfront, they have mitzvahs. Vihine Shiro Hachokmo El Yomno Kol Prote Hil Yonim Yizeh Amin Hashem in his wisdom Hachokmo El Yomno determined every possible quality that a person can have Shariyim Limotzei Nulipol Ev Sharusam their possibility of manifesting these midos. The Cholkan Oshius is human, it will come up in a person's life. We'll see Hatachris or Ikri, Shazucharno Bimakomo. Right? It will also be part of the person's avoda to overcome or to do or to avoid in order to reach his ultimate goal. Oh, my book. As I go through my life and I have maybe endless opportunities to exhibit Rachmanas, and maybe endless opportunities where I can exhibit Rachmanas or Azorius, where I can exhibit arrogance or humility. And I go through here and give by any means a full list, right? This list of midos. And so you have a chance as you go through the different. I mean, every day different things happen to people. they go through life, they're in the supermarket, they're in the kitchen, they're in school, they're interacting with people, they're in the park. I mean, every moment of life, one could say, cannot, has choices to make. Once we personalize a person's life, and we say, you know, it's Midos, he's focusing on Midos, then see also the Sibo Sehem, Umasolaveyem. It's very, very complicated. Their causes, their effects, everything that surrounds them, Chalam Islavalahem, Chokakar Sherusa Ba'odam, Kamashi Kosakti. They should be able to, a person's neshama. Maybe a person has tendencies, mashma, certain demaras, maybe. But the person encompasses all these mitos and he goes through life and he could really pull out what he wants to pull out at any given time. But in order for these qualities, these different qualities to exist, that a person could have the chira and choose, you need a lot of different, you need life to be complicated. If life were all the same, like a single cell amoeba, so then you wouldn't have all these different scenarios of life, right? A person, if they would keep a diary, a Migdol's diary, they could probably fill up a diary with one day's worth of different interactions they have with people, different opportunities to talk Lashon Hara, different opportunities to be jealous, different opportunities to be something more, different opportunities to be arrogant, different opportunities to be humble, different opportunities to talk too much, different opportunities to be silent. Limitless. You just live through life. We don't take us. I'm living a video, but really, it's really a slideshow. And every moment in time is a snapshot. It's not. Hashem could freeze the frame, like you click on see slideshow. So, by the way, maybe make cartoons, maybe they still make it that way. Because really, it's like hundreds, thousands, I don't know, of images, and just each image is like a half a second after the other one. And you flip it quickly, so it looks like they're moving. They're not really moving. Every second is a snapshot in time. It happens to be a machlokes. I once looked it up, and then I realized I don't know what they're talking about. I can't even say it over. It's a question of the nature of time, just like there's a big machlokes about the nature of light. Or not, maybe not anymore. Now it's everything you want to think of. Maybe it is this kind, that kind. The time, there is a big machlokes out there. If time flows or not. Or no, it's just every second. This Nayatsmo, and it doesn't really flow. It just is every moment. So anyway, but certainly, every moment is, in terms of what he's talking about, every moment you have to react, and you have to, it's a world in itself. Something is happening now, and I have to react. Anyway, he says, for the person to get an opportunity, you know, if you look at Silas Yisharim, you recognize this from the first parak. But the first parak, he says it very, almost blandly, almost blandly, and you say, everything lies in the Sion. Here he's saying, because there's Tov and Ra and people, and there's a whole gamut of Tov, and it goes way beyond the Mitzvahs and Averis. It's all your Midos, and all your attitudes and Midos and Hashkafas. And for that to exist and be manifested, and for you to choose between good and bad, that's why there's so many different possibilities in life, because you have to experience the different midos and make a bechira. Because life, and this is like so echoes what it. What a silly thing to say, because it's the same person who wrote the Bolt Swarm. And we saw already many times, I think they spoke it out, there's certain parts of Derech Hashem that you go back and you learn the Sulas Hasharim afterwards, and you realize like the profundity of the words in the Sulas Hasharim, how reflective they are of whole, like a sentence there will be a whole two paragraphs here of Derech Hashem. Like, very gratifying. If you go back and you learn Derech Hashem, I don't know how many of you are paying attention to the text itself. I'm such an entertaining speaker that I can understand that you don't even look into the text. But if you do and you review it and you have an idea, then you go back home to the Sharon, it's the first pair. You go, wow, I recognize this. This is an entire chapter of Derech Hashem, this line. Wow. It's very, very, it's gratifying, you know. Like, is that a good meter or a mean meter? Subtle. See how subtle everything is in life? So you're gratifying. I just described a very normal human reaction. So if you feel superior to other people who don't have the schuss of coming to this year, that's a bad thing then. And you don't really feel gratified, you feel superior to others, which is absurd. And of course, who knows what, you know, what they are doing, and they are studying, and they are accomplishing, because everybody has their own thing in life. But if you're Chavitzal Vavos, we learned it in Shar, at the end of Shar HaKniya, which is the same as Anocha, when it's okay to feel a sense of fulfillment, peace, gratification, and you do a mitzvah, you do a good deed, and you feel good about it, and that's a positive feeling. And we struggled with it then, I remember, because he uses very precise terminology to keep it away from gaiva, and to keep it away from, okay, now I'm on vacation for a month. But it's, so let's just leave it there. So right away, you know, if a person would keep a chesed on nefesh, say, okay, what did I feel? And we come back to introspection. Because you don't know how you felt unless you're introspective. You don't even know how to start thinking about yourself unless you have the koach of introspection, which I darshened about last time or the time before. Right? That without introspection, you can't get started. And most people can't be introspective. They don't know how to be. Most people don't know how to think anymore, anyway. And to think about themselves is really heavy. But that is something, see, we just learned it that way. I just said it, and you will learn it, gratified, and is that good or bad? I don't know. You know, depends how it sits on your leg, on your neshama, how it sits in your head. Okay. Kimasot Shonen with Nayodam. Because we've got to run the gamut of all the midos. The midos are immeasurably more numerous than the mitzvahs and averus, technical mitzvahs, technical averus.
More than 613?
I'm sorry.
There are more midos than
613? There are millions. I mean, I don't know if I had to make a list if there's more. But the opportunities of fulfillment or violation is immeasurable. Right? I'm only going to listen to a shofar once a year, twice a year. I'm only going to sit in a sukkah 8 days a year. I'm only going to take challah once a week, most, once a month. Right? But I struggle to control my sharp, biting cynicism. A few hundred times a day. You see, everybody's life is very personalized because every neshama has things to work through. This is really very reflective of the Gra that says that's what a person is sent down to this world for. What personalizes life is midos, and to work on midos. Now, a lot of times, mitzvahs and averus are reflective of midos. That's what I love about the series of sefer called Cholos Odom Olamo, whatever it's told to. It really goes into the kishkes of a person. Because a lot of averus I do might be atzlus. Might be a mental laziness. Or it could be physical laziness. And it could could be geyser, it could be like so many things really have their root as midos. In fact, I think that the gross saying that everything has its root in midos. That's why I say nowadays it's not ludicrous to go to a therapist to help you do tshuva. Because the root of every avera is really midos. You know? Midos. It's either the grub really makes three broad categories, I think. Let me see if I remember it correct. Maybe two broad categories. Either taiva and gaifa. Those are broad categories. Taiva and gaifa. So if you would have asked me probably 5 years ago, if a person who can't control his taivas, or maybe last week, a person who can't control his taivas, has a very healthy HR. Again, no one in this room, with maybe one exception. A very healthy HR. So, yeah, you dream of the therapist. But now, that was like, now I've changed. Yeah. Because maybe there's a root there, that self-gratification, and it's cognitive dissonance from the consequences of the avera. And like the most important thing in his life is self-gratification. And maybe there's a reason for that. I'm not blaming it on his third grade rabbi that called him stupid in front of everybody. But you want to come to Salvador, so like the real way of Yishar Yichud HaMaisa, which says, I have single mindedness. What does Hashem think of me? What does Hashem think of what I'm doing? And like, everything else like falls away. What other people think of me, self-gratification. I'm not a single-mindedness of purpose. It's a shah yichud ha-maiset. Every shah. Yeah, I got to learn to tell all this over and over and over and over and over again. And I have to thank him and the Miller for that. For that awareness that kind of Moses is amazing sefer. It's like an accent. I would thank Hashem. I came across his tapes on it. I listened to one of them. I just fell in love. But now if you would tell me that this person's a terrible about time and those are dangerous. You gotta get into a therapist quickly. So 5 years ago, I would have made fun. I would have mocked that, and now I'm not so sure anymore. Maybe talk to a good therapist to get at the root of this type. Obviously, he's missing something in life. Right? So, in the old fashioned way, you learn Musar, and Musar meant thinking of Gehenna, thinking of Sarva Onesh, thinking of consequences, not having cognitive dissonance. Now it's, I certainly don't make fun of it anymore. But I still say, maybe it was just a regular multi-tool. Or an old-fashioned multi-tool. The grub is these two broad categories, gaiva and taiva. Everything, every avera. So taiva is like a mida. So how do you lick a mida? Maybe not therapy. You have to look at me by working on it. But you learn every soul salanta or Israel, and really the movement towards understanding the yisodos of your actions and of your taiva is really what the soul salanta introduced. Which is an absolute cut off because of World War II. That's so. The approach to Musar is really based on understanding
And because Maliyahu is quick as Habachira, describes a person who has a title to cigarettes, but he describes a thought process which a therapist would be able to deal with. I'm not saying every therapist is good, by the way. There's plenty of not good ones. Just because you have the word therapist in front of your name doesn't mean you're a good person. But the Olmec, it's not really Musar, it's more like other people. Musar is Hashkafa, but it's not really that either. It's getting at the depths of your soul to understand the roots of your actions in a very deep, deep way. It's like introspection times 100. Like getting at the roots of what you're doing and why are you doing it and what Kochos HaNefesh does it show. So anyway, when the Gros says that everything boils down to Midos, that really, yes, like that. Took me like 20 years to understand. I still don't claim I understand it fully, but I think I have a stable grasp of what he's talking about. Okay. Thank you. Now I'm gratified.